This shiur is being given in the Breslov Shul in Shari Chesed in Yerushalayim, a few days before Rosh Chodesh Adar Tovshin Ayin Hei. A few years ago, I was invited to give a shiur, a weekly shiur, in Ramat Beit Shemesh for English speakers, and I was thinking, what's the most important topic to talk about? And I thought it was the topic of simcha, happiness. There's so much going on in the world, in the big world, and in the world of Yiddishkeit, of people struggling to understand what is simcha, why to be happy, how to be happy under all different kinds of circumstances. And Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, writes in a chapter on Likutei Moran, he puts incredible importance to it, and he says it's one of the most difficult things. It's one of the most difficult things to be consistent in simcha. At that time, we gave 26 shiurim on that topic, going through the entire Sefer Sichoi Soran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, going through the entire Likutei Moran, wherever he talks about simcha, and we started on Likutei Halachos. And we got up to a certain point and we didn't finish. There's about two-thirds more to go, I'd say about, meaning about another 50 hours of shiurim to explain and expound on the topic of simcha. And I always had a desire to continue. And when I look tonight to see where I left off at the time, I saw it was where Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas Purim. And this is tied into the holiday of Purim. So I felt it, maybe it's a good sign, maybe it's appropriate to continue from there. We're going to talk about Purim. We're going to talk about the four parshias that we mentioned in the previous year. Shkolim, Zohar, Porah, HaChodesh. And we're going to talk a lot about the topic of Simcha, to really try to clarify it, to make it clear, and to try to help us get to a level to know what happiness is, and to do it as much as we can. So this shiur is continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Volume 1, Hilchos Nefilas Apayim, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Dalid. Rav Nosson Zal says that what the holiday of Purim is really all about is being happy at all times. As it says in Megillas Esther, Lasois oison yemei mishta v'simcha, that we're told to establish these days of Purim as days of drinking and celebration, happiness, as is the custom among Jews, to have an incredible variety of happiness on Purim. There's the eating, there's the drinking, there's the sending shalach manas, there's the giving gifts back and forth, there's giving charity, there's an atmosphere of joy and happiness. There's the dressing up the masks, dressing up in costumes, there's the music, there's the banging at Haman. Every facet of Purim, if you analyze it, is all about simcha. And Rav Nosson Zal says, ki ikar hachnoas hasitra achra, because the most powerful way to defeat the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, Shehu Zuamas Hanochosh, which began with the impurity of the snake during the time of Adam and Chava, Hu Bepurim. The main way to defeat the Yetzer Hara and to defeat the Tumah of the snake is through Purim, through the holiday of Purim, through this joy and happiness. Because that's when we're involved in defeating Haman, who comes from Amalek, who is the essence of evil. There's a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis where it says, Rak ra kol hayoim, only evil all day, wall to wall evil. The last letters of those four words, Rak ra kol hayoim, spell the word Amalek. Amalek is the ultimate in evil. And again, Haman is a descendant. Haman is one of the heroes of Amalek. And Haman's power, Amalek's power, originates from the Eitz Hadas, which brought death to the world, which brought depression to the world, sadness, depression. It was after eating from the Eitz Hadas that Hashem issued the curse, Be'itzavoin Toichalena, with atzvus, with depression, you will earn a livelihood, you'll eat. So again, this is where Haman Amalek is coming from. And we find, in fact, the Gemara asks in Chulin, where do we find Haman in the Chumash? We know that everything that appears in the Navi, in Ksuvim, in the Gemara, has to have a source in the Chumash. Where is Haman in the Chumash? The Gemara says, by the Eitz Hadas. When Hashem says to Adam, Hamin ho'eitz, did you eat from that tree? The word Hamin is spelled Hey Mem Nun. So we see that Haman is associated with the Eitz Hadas, which is death, which is depression, which is unhappiness. That's what he's all about. And on Purim is when we take on Haman face to face. We battled Haman. On Purim, we celebrate the victory over Haman Amalek. We eliminated, we replaced the depression, the unhappiness, with the ultimate expression of joy and happiness. Rav Nosson Zal says, ki ikar ha-kedusha hu simcha. Most Jews, especially those that study Torah, would hear the word kedusha, holiness, and they would not associate that with happiness. Kedusha means purity. Kedusha means separating yourself, asceticism. That's how people picture kedusha. Rav Nosson Zal says, Iker ha-kedusha, the essence of holiness, the ultimate in holiness, is happiness, and specifically being happy with Hashem. And he makes a statement here, Kimi sheyesh loy emuna shleima b'Hashem Yisborach, because a person who really has solid faith in Hashem, bevadai roy loy lismoyach tomid b'Hashem Yisborach, that person would always be happy with Hashem. There are some people who need a fantastic ice cream to make them happy. Sometimes kids are unhappy, they're grumpy, and mommy wants to pull them out of the unhappiness. Let's go buy ice cream. Oh, we're going to buy ice cream. They're jumping for joy. A minute ago, the kid was angry and complaining and moaning and groaning, and the ice cream changed all of that. And for another person, it's $100,000 or it's a brand new car. Each person, but we know that all of those things are temporary highs. It's short-lived. It's not permanent. Whereas Hashem, if I'm happy with Hashem, if I'm happy because I believe in Hashem and I trust Hashem, I trust that Hashem knows what he's doing, that there's somebody managing this world and managing me that knows exactly what he's doing and he knows what's best for me and he really wants what's best for me, then that's something that could help a person be able to maintain a steady, consistent happiness. But Rav Nosson Zal says, "Vezeh hadovor iev shelavar bichsav." We can't really explain this in writing. Ki ulechol chad lefuman demishar belibe. It applies to each and every person based on what they feel in their heart. Each person's feeling for Hashem, the feeling that they have for Hashem, and the feeling that they have for Yiddishkeit, and for what's important, that's what will define to what level a person succeeds in this, in being constantly happy, happy, joyous with Hashem. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains a little bit, what is Haman Amalek? What is Amalek really all about? The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Amalek has the same numerical value, gematria, as Sofek. Sofek means doubt. Hashem is Vadai. Hashem is definite. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one of the special songs that we have in the Musaf, in the Chazoras HaShatz of Musaf, is V'choyel Maminim. Everyone believes that such and such. Next sentence, everyone believes that Hashem is this. Everyone believes that Hashem is that. And that's one of the outstanding pieces in the repetition of the Musaf. One of the pieces there in V'choyel Maminim is where we say, Havadai Shemoi. Hashem's name is Vadai. Hashem is definite. Hashem is the most definite thing in the world. There are people that say that there's only two definite things in life, death and taxes. That's a famous quote in the United States. And we know that neither of those are true. Taxes, we got thousands of guys sitting in jail and not sitting in jail for tax evasion. And death, the Gemara tells us, there was an Eliyahu Hanavi, there are people who evaded death. There is such a possibility, it's rare. But Hashem is Vadai. Havadai Shmoy, Hashem is definite. The direct opposition to Hashem is Amalek. Amalek is all about maybe, maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe not. And even when it comes to Torah, here's where Rav Nosson Zal takes this, he brings it home for us. So again, Amalek, where's Amalek today? In the Himalayas, you know, there's no Amalek today. Rav Nosson Zal says Amalek is not only alive and well today among the non-Jews, he exists among us. Those people whose attitude about Hashem is one of maybe, maybe yes, maybe no. And their attitude towards the Torah is again lukewarm. They don't get excited, like excited about a mitzvah, excited about a pair putting on tzitzis. I mean, it's good. In the winter, it keeps you warm. And it is, you know, it does remind you sometimes about you, the fact that you're Jewish, a Yiddish guy, you know. Rav Nosson Zal says, those people who take an approach to Yiddishkeit, there are different approaches to the Torah, to interpreting the Torah and understanding the Torah. There's an approach, there's a secular approach to studying Torah and to understanding the Torah, where people try to rationalize, people try to give rational explanations to the mitzvahs. For example, going into a sukkah, eating in a sukkah. Everybody knows it's good to have fresh air, to be out in the outdoors, camping trips. Rav Nosson Zal says they're nuts. They're crazy people. People who think that sukkah has... If sukkah were about fresh air, we'd eat in the sukkah during the summertime, in the middle of the winter, in Russia, on sukkahs, when it snows or it's pouring rain, you're going to tell me about fresh air? You're going to tell me it's about fresh air? And he comes out really strongly saying that these people who misinterpret the Torah, they try to give rational explanations and thereby inject doubt into the minds of Jewish people about spirituality, about eternity, about Olam Haba, world to come, that's mysticism, that's Hinduism. They think that's part of another religion. They don't know that it's part of authentic Judaism. In authentic Judaism, we believe that the reason why we do mitzvahs, the reason why we study Torah and do mitzvahs is because of eternity. Is because, not because we expect to be rewarded in this world, in during the 70 or 100 years that we're living in this world. It's because we know that this is just a preview for the real thing. This is not the real world. People talk about get real and reality check and all of that. This isn't the place for that. This is the unreal place. This is the Olam HaSheker. But within this world, Hashem, with his infinite kindness, has given us an opportunity. He's given us the Torah, which is real, which is Emet. It's the book of truth, the book of reality. He's given us mitzvahs. He's given us an opportunity to do things by which we can take ourselves out of all the dimyonot, all of the imaginary happiness, the imaginary goodness of this world. We gave examples before. The goodness in this world, the goodness in Gashmias, in materialism, is short-lived. How long can you eat ice cream? The kid who loves ice cream the most, a half hour? An hour? An hour of steady eating ice cream? And then you have to send him to the hospital. He's got to go to the hospital for ODing on, you know. And the same thing is true about all physical pleasure, materialistic pleasures. So that's not real happiness. Real happiness could only be when it's real, when it's about Hashem, when it's about Hashem, when it's about something that's permanent, something that's eternal. And a person who believes in Hashem and who believes in the Torah properly, then that person has the ability to be happy 24/7. Because again, it doesn't take ice cream, it doesn't take the car, just knowing that I'm with Hashem, knowing that Hashem is all around us, Hashem is everywhere, wherever I am, when I'm up and when I'm down, when I'm healthy and especially when I'm unhealthy. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem yesodenu al eres tvo, when I'm being good and when I'm not being good, Hashem is close to me. The Gemara says in Yuma that when we introduce the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachmim, before we mention the 13 attributes of kindness, we say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun. We mention Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei twice there. So the Gemara says, what's that? What is that? The Gemara says the first Hashem, the first Yud Kei Vav Kei, refers to Hashem's association with us before we commit a sin. The second Yud Kei Vav Kei, you know, it's two times Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Hashem's connection with us after we commit a sin. Meaning that Hashem has to become bigger. It's like, let's say you have a parent and you have a child. When the child is being good and nice and doing all the right things, so the parent is naturally nice to the kid. Nice and understanding and willing to live, happy. And when a child does some terrible things, and it would be normal and natural for the parent not to want to look at that kid. Get out of my sight. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Chas v'shalom. Or certainly, again, certainly not to show any love or kindness or respect or understanding. In order to be able to do that, when the child is doing bad things, that parent has to rise to a higher level, a much higher level of being a understanding and a mensch and recognizing that just because he did bad things doesn't mean he's bad. The Torah teaches us, Yitamu chatoy min oretz, let the sins be erased from the world, not the sinners. Judaism doesn't preach wiping out sinners. It preaches wiping out sins, wiping out the mistakes, correcting the mistakes, urishom odeinom, then they won't be rishom anymore, they'll be good people. But that's a higher level. And again, that's what Hashem does towards us, especially towards the Jewish people. If a person believes that, if a person believes and knows that there's such a Hashem in existence, and this is Hashem's attitude towards me, wow, am I lucky. Wow, do I have what to be happy about all the time, to be happy, to be positive, to be optimistic. And the Torah teaches us that darkness precedes light. So when you see that it's dark, when you see that things are no good, appear to be no good, that doesn't mean it's no good. It means get ready for the good. It's coming. When it gets dark and then darker and darkest, you know, shortly afterwards, the morning star is coming up and the sun is going to come up and it's going to be day. This is Hashem. This is Hashem. This is the Torah. This is what the Torah teaches us. A person who has this faith, who has this knowledge, has the ability to be happy 24/7. And Homon Amalek is the opposite of this. Homon Amalek represents that the doubts. And again, those people, even among the Jews, who misinterpret the Torah, who misinterpret Yiddishkeit, and try to make it into something rational. They try to make it like, again, there's the code of Hammurabi. Everybody knows there's a code of ethics. Every country has a constitution, it has a book of rules. So the Jews, so we have a Torah. We're not any different. We'll be like all the other nations, chas v'shalom. That's Haman, that's the worst enemy of Klal Yisrael. And that's what could take the happiness out of life. That's what could take the excuse, the reason for being happy out of life. Rav Nosson Zal tells us, quoting the Arizal, that the word, that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, page 56, I believe it is, the Gemara says there that the word tzav, it says in the Torah many places, Hashem says, instruct the Jewish people. All the mitzvahs of the Torah are called commandments. Hashem commanded us, instructed us to do this. That's the word tzav. Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, instruct the Jewish people to do this, to do that. Haman is begimatria tzav. Haman is the opposite of that. Haman with the kolel. Haman is 95. With the word, it's 96, which is tzav. He's the opposite of that. And the Gemara, in fact, says, ein tzav el avodah zarah. That tzav refers to idol worship, meaning the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk where it says that the Jews have gone against everything I've instructed them to do, all of my tzivuim. That's Haman. He's the opposite, literally the opposite force to the entire Torah, to this truth, to this happiness. And Rav Nosson Zal makes a point of saying that what Haman is really all about is knocking the wind out of us. It's not so much blocking us from performing mitzvah, it's blocking us from enjoying the performance of a mitzvah. It's the simcha shel mitzvah, which is the essence of the mitzvah. That's the real thing. A person is eating, they're putting food into their mouth, and they have a hole right here in their esophagus where everything they put in comes right out. The person eats and eats and eats, and they don't get any strength. They don't feel any energy. Feel like they're fasting. They're getting tired and weak, and the person says, I don't understand. I've been eating all day. I've been eating and drinking all day. You have been eating and drinking all day, but it hasn't gone to where it's supposed to go to. It's leaking out. That's the concept of a person performing mitzvahs, studying Torah, performing mitzvahs, without getting the effect of it. The effect of Torah and mitzvah is the joy and happiness. The pasuk says, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchei Lev. The mitzvahs of Hashem are righteous. They bring joy and happiness to the heart. So if a person is studying Torah and doing mitzvahs, and they're not experiencing that joy and happiness, it's like they're drinking, but it's not going inside at all. It's leaking out. It's leaking out. The effects, the real effects and benefit of what a person's supposed to get from that doing the mitzvah, the simcha shel mitzvah, that's what's being taken away. And that's what Haman Amalek is about. It's about this doubt, questioning, trying to understand Hashem and seeing that we don't fully understand Hashem, and therefore trying to rationalize, trying to make the Torah and Yiddishkeit into a simple rational thing that must conform with scientific fact and all of this stuff. And this is why on this holiday of Purim, which represents the downfall of Haman, what Purim is about is wall-to-wall simcha, wall-to-wall happiness. It's all 36 flavors of joy and happiness, as we mentioned before. It's the eating the foods that make you happy and drinking what makes you happy. Wine, what is wine supposed to do for a person? V'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Wine brings joy and happiness into the heart if it's drunk properly. If a person's drinking it for Hashem, person's drinking it to show respect, the person drinks on Shabbos, on Yontif, at a siyum, for a mitzvah, using this as a means of showing respect for Hashem, and not overindulging in anything, will bring negative effects, chas v'shalom. So you have the eating, the drinking, the giving gifts, the giving charity, all things that could make a person high. That's what Purim is all about. The opposite of Haman, which is Avodah Zarah, which is Atzvus, which is Hamin Ho'etz, the Eitz Hadas, which brought Be'itzavo in Toichalena, which brought depression, the opposite of all of this. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that this is the battle between holiness and unholiness. This is the battle between good and the Yetzirah. That what the Yetzirah is looking to do is to rob us from the joy and happiness of Torah and mitzvahs, of life. Because again, the mitzvah itself, they can play it down. They can say it's codes like every other nation has. But when they see a person performing a mitzvah with joy, when they see a person going into Shabbos shining like a lamppost, and they see the singing at the table on Shabbos, the singing and the joy and the blessings that people are giving each other and the greetings, that's what the Yetzirah doesn't like. That's what Amalek really doesn't like. And we find the Gemara gives an example of Rabbi Akiva, that when Rabbi Akiva was told that he was going to be taken out to be killed, to be tortured and killed by the Romans, The Medrash says, Gochin, Gochin v'chayich, that Rabbi Akiva bowed and laughed. He was happy. And again, the Romans looked at this, and this they couldn't believe. How is it possible? How is it possible for a person to know that they're about to be tortured and be happy? And the answer is because they didn't know what emuna is, what real faith is. What real faith is, and what living the Torah properly is, experiencing the full Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And again, we said Purim is the ultimate to this. We know that Shabbos, Yontif, every Yontif and Shabbos, we're supposed to celebrate, we're supposed to be happy. I once heard from my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, that the Sforim tell us that Purim, the holiday of Purim, is koilel all of the holidays. All the elements that are found in all of the holidays put together are found in Purim. The word Purim makes up the first letters. The Pei is Pesach. The Vav is Vesukkos. The Resh is Rosh Hashanah. The Yud is Yom Kippur. And the Mem is Matan Torah. Shavuos is called Matan Torah. Showing us again that this is what all the holidays are about. Purim is the one where we see it most clearly, where we express it most openly. It's all about this simcha, this Anochi Esmach Bashem. Now we come to a very interesting point, maybe shocking to some people. We know that on Purim, we do some silly things. And on Purim, we do certain things which could be defined as fun or funny. And there are many intelligent people who look at that askanced, that this is inappropriate. It's inappropriate. It's immature. It's no good. All kinds of negative definitions of this. Rabbeinu Zal, who was one of the most, and anyone who studies Rabbi Nachman's teachings will certainly say that this was one of the most serious people you ever read about. Rabbeinu Zal says, this extraordinarily serious person says that it seems that it's impossible for a person to be happy nowadays, he said this 200 years ago, without some fun, without some silliness. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this a number of times, and we know that during his time, during the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there were many of the tzaddikim that had badchonim. They had a comedian that they had a connection with, and every once in a while, they'd have this comedian come in and perform. And a person would say, number one, this is Bittul Torah. And again, this is the antithesis of Yiddishkeit. I mean, Yiddishkeit is all about Chachma. We say, Kulam b'Chachma asisa, Hashem created the world with Chachma. And the Gemara says, La'olam ein adam chote elam kein nichnas bo ruach shtus. That what causes a person to commit a sin is a spirit of foolishness, silliness. So it would seem that this is a one-way ticket to sin. And Rabbeinu Zal said, it appears that nowadays it's impossible for a person to be able to be happy without some fun, without some silliness, without mili d'shtusa, he referred to it. And Rabbeinu Zal explains why. Why is it this way? The answer is that during the time that we had a Beis HaMikdash, when things were at their best, we had a Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was a center. What was it a center of? Joy and happiness. You'll take a look in the Chumash. Usmachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem. V'somachto b'chagecho. It says it maybe 10 times in Parshas Re'eh, in one of Parshas. It repeats again and again and again that the Beis HaMikdash was wall-to-wall simcha. You had the Levim playing musical instruments and singing. It wasn't a morgue. There are some religious places you can go into today, supposedly Jewish religious places of prayer and other things, and you feel like you're in a morgue. If you make any noise or if you move a little bit, that They'll throw you out. You're breaking the rules. That's not the way it was in the Beis Hamikdash. It was loaded with simcha. The Kohanim, the Levim, the Israelim was all about simcha. Ktores, they brought the offering of Ktores. It says, Ktores yisamach levav. Ktores is like wine. The incense brought joy and happiness to those who were infused with it. Unfortunately, we made mistakes. We committed sins. We lost the Beis Hamikdash. We lost the Beis Hamikdash. We were driven out of Yerushalayim. We were driven out of Eretz Yisrael. And even today, those of us that are incredibly privileged to be living in Eretz Yisrael, to be living in Yerushalayim, we go visit the Beis Hamikdash, and if we haven't been there for 30 days, we tear our shirts. We tear Kriya. What are you, nuts? You're coming to the Kotel. This is one of the holiest, one of the best places in the world to visit, and you're tearing it. Yes. I'm tearing my garment to show that I realize that that's not the Beis Hamikdash. That's reminding me that we don't have, that Hashem does not have a house, that the Jewish people do not have a homeland yet. It's not fully our homeland yet. We're surrounded by hundreds of millions of enemies on all sides, and the enemies are inside also. They're not just outside, they're inside, all around us. So we lost the Beis Hamikdash. We lost the joy and happiness. Where did it go? It fell down. It fell into the Sitra Achra. It fell into the Tumah. And that's why today people turn on a television and it can keep them laughing. That makes them happy. And another person goes into an ice cream store and that makes them happy. The simcha which was originally found in the Beis Hamikdash, in holiness, in mitzvahs and those things, has fallen into the Sitra Achra. It's fallen into materialism, into a shiny red car, into a red sports car. Those are the things that make a person laugh and smile, etc. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, a Jew, a religious Jew, today when we are in Golus, today when we don't have the Beis Hamikdash and we don't have the same level tzaddikim that we had in those days and we don't have the same level of closeness to Hashem that we had in those days, if a Jew tries to get simcha directly from the Torah, directly from mitzvahs, it doesn't work for most people. It won't work. Just like lahavdil, a person's making a barbecue, they go to a store, they buy coals. And they tell the guy, I want coals that are going to work. Don't give me the ones I've used. I've bought coals in the past and try lighting them and nothing happens. And the kids are screaming and everything. Give me the real coals. And the guy says, okay, these cost double. Take these. You'll have no problem. The guy goes, he brings them home and he's so excited and get the meat, get everything ready. And he puts a match to the coals and he's standing there and nothing. The match burns down and he burns his finger and he says, the dirty liar. Another time, I bought coals that don't work. And somebody tells him, no, you need lighter fluid. You need this other little thing. These coals will work. These coals are going to make a fire that's going to burn for hours. You're going to be able to roast meat. But you need something to start it up. You need a starter for, like a car needs a starter. If the starter isn't working, you have a powerful engine, lubricant, everything. It's perfect. The starter isn't working, you don't get anywhere. Rabbeinu Zal taught us that today, when we are in Golus, and especially he spoke 200 years ago, that during his time already, it was just about impossible for a person, a religious Jew, to be able to be besimcha without some mili d'shtusa, without some fun, without a joke, without something to make a person jingle, to make a person laugh, to a spice, a... As long as it doesn't cross a red line, we know there are red lines. A person will say, okay, there's this drug and that drug, which makes people laugh and makes people happy. The answer is, we know again, there's all kinds of extremes. And the extremes are usually wrong and dangerous and harmful to the person. Within a framework of what's kosher, within a framework of kosher, this element of mili d'shtusa is a critical piece in the life of an observant Jew, an observant religious Jew. And in fact, the Gemara says that the rabbis of the Gemara, when they would start a shir, The students would be sitting there. Again, they were sitting in front of a person who was on a much higher level than an angel. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that one of the Roman emperors said to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, I know that the smallest one of you guys has the ability to bring a dead person back to life, can perform Tchiyas HaMeisim. These were the rabbis of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, first the rabbi would start with a joke. He would make a joke to perk everybody up, lighter fluid. Then he would shift gears, go into serious mode, and start teaching the halacha, the kabbalah, everything, the whole thing. And the Gemara says there were rabbis who prepared so many lists of pirkin of mili d'shtusa with which to be able to humor, to put a spice into the students, to make them laugh, and then be able to shift in a mode of seriousness and be able to, the laughing opens up the mind, that expands the mind. When a person is happy, the brain is open, now I'm ready to be able to hear. Just like the Sifrei Kabbalah explained, why do we make Kiddush on Friday night? Why do we make Kiddush on wine? Because the Gemara tells us, and especially the Sifrei Kabbalah, that on Shabbos, a Jew who observes Shabbos gets a neshama yesera, a whole major, major new piece of soul, of connection to Hashem, which gives the person the ability to make a much stronger connection to Hashem, 1,000 times more powerful than during the week. How do we start it? What's the lighter fluid for it? That cup of wine, that Kiddush Friday night. That one cup of wine, the wine gives a person, the Gemara says, Chamra Varechni Pikhin. It opens up the brain. It expands the mind a little. How much wine? The right amount. Drink, over, flood the brain with wine, and the person becomes cloudy. They can't think straight. They can't talk straight. But a little bit of wine is an appetizer. It opens up the mind. It opens up the appetite. Now the Neshama Yesera can do its thing. Now I'm ready to learn a much deeper level of Torah and to sing a higher level of Zmirois and to daven a tefillah that's on a completely different level than during the 6 days of the week. Rav Nosson Zal tells us this is the secret of one of the most incredible stories in the history of the Jewish people. We know that each one of the tzaddikim has a title for what he represents. The forefathers of the Jews are called the Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov are called the Avos HaKadoshim, our forefathers. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Rabbeinu, our teacher. David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, they're known as kings. And in the Zohar Kodesh, David HaMelech has a nickname. He's called Badcha de Malka, the comedian of the king, the king's comedian, Hashem's joker. The Zohar Kodesh says that when David HaMelech was confessing his sin, the Zohar HaKadosh shows in the Pasuk in Tehillim, even then he was able to include a joke. He was able to show that I'm not going to get depressed. There's a Pasuk, David HaMelech says, Edag mechatosi. I worry from my sins. Sins cause a person to worry. Sins cause a person depression, sadness. But David HaMelech said, I know to be careful, because I know that that's the Eitzahara that's trying to do that to me. He's going to try to make me worry and get depressed so I won't do tshuva, so I won't bounce back. And I'm not going to let that happen. The Zohar HaKadosh says that even when he was confessing his sin, he included a humorous thing in it to show that I'm not going to go to that terrible place of atzvus, of disconnecting from Hashem totally. And then the Navi tells us that this David HaMelech was so courageous and so valiant that as a boy, when his older brothers were all in the army and they were all soldiers working for Shaul HaMelech, and the Jews at the time were faced by their worst adversary, Goliath, the Philistines at that time had a giant, something that totally inhuman, that injected fear, terrorized the Jewish people. How did he terrorize them? The Pasuk says twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, he would come, he would march in front of the Jewish people, and he would spit, he would insult the Jews and their king and their army and Hashem. The Gemara says, why did he do this twice a day in the morning? he did it to counter the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris and the Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. You people say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You believe that your Hashem is so powerful? Fuya! I laugh at him. I spit on him. This is what Golias was saying. And he had a booming voice. He terrorized them. Shaul HaMelech was petrified when he heard the roar of this giant Golias. Dovid HaMelech heard this. And he heard that the king, he heard this. And he said, who's that? Who's the dog that's saying that? And they said to him, shh, what are you, crazy? You know, somebody here, Fifi. He said, what do you mean? He's insulting Hashem. He can't be bigger than a dog. Maybe he's smaller than a dog. Maybe he's less than a dog. But that's the highest respect that I can give to somebody like that. And they heard this. And Shaul HaMelech was looking for somebody to take on this Golias. And again, Dovid HaMelech was a kid at the time compared to the powerful soldiers. And so they brought Dovid HaMelech before him. And he said, are you prepared to challenge this beast, this huge beast? And he said, challenge? What kind of he's insulting Hashem. He's zero. He's nothing. He can't be anything if he's insulting Hashem. And sure enough, Dovid HaMelech went, the Navi says, and he came out because Goliath kept saying, I challenge anybody. Send your biggest, most, but to come out and face me. And then he sees this kid coming in the distance, and he gets insulted, deeply insulted. What, are they crazy, sending this nutty kid to... And Dovid HaMelech's walking towards him, and he's roaring, and the Navi says, Dovid HaMelech saw stones on the floor. He picked up 5 stones, and he put them in a pouch, and he used it as a slingshot, and he threw it at Goliath. And this slingshot and this Goliath was covered with armor. In the Navi, it describes the thickness of the armor and everything. Nothing could penetrate this guy. This slingshot happened to find its way exactly to the one place where the armor wasn't, by his forehead. And these rocks hit him in the forehead and killed him. And he toppled over. And Dovid HaMelech went and picked up his huge, huge sword, cut off his head. And that was the end. That was the end of the Philistines. That was the downfall. That changed the history of the world at that time. The Tikkuni Zohar asks, what were these stones made out? Were these rubies? Was this a kryptonite? Superman used kryptonite. What did he use to kill this guy with? The Zohar HaKadosh says, let's see if he can count. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, 5 words. Echad, one, was the pouch that he put it into. He took each word. There are different places where we're told that the words are compared to stones. The words of our prayers, the words, it's like stones used to build a Mishkan. He took his faith. That's what he took. He took his faith in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, and he put that into one. And the faith that he had in Hashem, Goliath was nothing, was zero, zero. It's not me again. He's not insulting me. He's insulting Hashem. He don't stand a chance. So he killed him, finished. And then eventually Dovid HaMelech became king. And before he became king, at one point Shaul HaMelech was chasing Dovid HaMelech to kill him. He became jealous of him. All the story, the Navi that people are familiar with. And at one point Dovid HaMelech was running for his life. And he ran into the territory of the Pelishtim. And they caught him. They spotted him. People spotted him. And they recognized him. They recognized that this is the arch enemy of our country. This is the guy who killed our superhero. And they captured him. And they figured they're going to bring him to their king. And who knows what kind of reward the king is going to give them for this, for having captured this Goliath. They bring him in. And he's surrounded on all sides by, so there's no escape, there's nothing, no way out. And Dovid HaMelech is in there in the throne room of their king with these soldiers, and they say, this is the guy that killed Goliath. And Dovid HaMelech studies the situation, and he decides to act crazy. The Navi says he starts drooling on his beard, and he starts scribbling on the wall, And the king looks at him and looks at the guys who brought him. And he said, we don't have enough crazies here. You brought another crazy here. Could you get this guy out of here? And they're looking, but get him out of here. Otherwise, we're going to put you in the same place we're going to put him, the same crazy house. This story appears in the Navi, in the Gemara. And this is how David HaMelech saved himself, saved his life, saved the future of the Jewish people. From David HaMelech comes Moshiach, the kingdom, the eternal king, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, got saved through Mili D'Shtusa. Rav Nosson Zal says David HaMelech knew this secret. He knew that there are times that a person gets into a place where he's in the hands of the Sitra Achra, he's in the hands of the Klipa, of the Tuma, and there's no way out. He's surrounded on all sides. He's in the total darkness. The only way to spin out of it is with a joke. With a joke, something funny, something silly, got to do something. And that's how he can spin out of the hands of the Sitra Achra and get himself into the Kedusha. And then he can sit down and learn Torah, and then he can daven, and then again, this is lighter fluid. You can't cook meat with lighter fluid. Ever try to cook a steak with lighter fluid? Tastes pretty lousy. The lighter fluid is good for starting the... So there are people who have made this their religion. They've made Mili D'Shtusa. This is great. This is holiness. Who needs to bother with learning and davening and other stuff? Just Mili D'Shtusa. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Mili D'Shtusa is phenomenal as lighter fluid, as something to get a person out of the ditch, out of the pit. And once he gets out of the pit and he cleans himself off, he sits down and he learns Torah, he does mitzvahs, he connects to Hashem, he gets close to tzaddikim, he does what he needs to do. This is one of the secrets of Purim, of this extraordinary holiday, where the Tikkuni Zohar says that Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, that 364 days a year, the Satan has power over a Jew. There's one day that's so holy, that the Satan is powerless. That's Yom Kippur. The word ha-Satan, the Gemara says, the Satan equals 364. 364 days a year, he's got power. One day, he's power. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're like angels. We don't eat, we don't drink, we don't this, we don't... Mamish, we're so holy, he can't touch us. The Tikkuni Zohar says that in the Chumash, it's called Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a day that's like Purim. It's not as holy as Purim. It's not as powerful as Purim, but it comes close. Purim is more powerful than Yom Kippur. That if a person is zoicha to perform the mitzvahs of Purim with simplicity, with sincerity, that I don't understand everything. I don't understand Hashem completely. If I understood Hashem, I would be Hashem. So I'm studying, I'm learning Torah, I'm trying to get to know whatever I can, but I'm not performing the mitzvahs because I understand everything. I'm performing the mitzvahs because I believe in Hashem, because I believe in Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, in Moshe Rabbeinu. I believe in that golden chain, that heritage of all of our tzaddikim who have passed this down in all the generations. I trust them completely, eyes closed. Just like at Har Sinai, they said, Nase v'nishma, we're in, Hashem, we're in. That you'll give us the explanations, you'll fill in the explanations afterwards. We're still living by that today. Hashem, we're in. It's a mitzvah to hear the Megillah. It's a mitzvah to give Shalach Manos. I'm doing all of these mitzvahs because I believe in it. First, I'll do it. And then I'm ready to study, to learn, to hear reasons, to hear proofs, everything, all interesting and nice. But I'm performing the mitzvah based on my faith in Hashem, faith in Tzaddik, and faith in the Torah. Just very quickly, to touch on the four parshias and how they connect to this, we mentioned that the four parshias that we read that precede the holiday of Pesach, Parsha Shkolim, they donated money to the Beis HaMikdash. For what purpose? For the Karbonos. Those Shkolim were used to buy Karbonos and Ktoris. What are the Karbonos and Ktoris all about? Simcha. Again, we said, look in the Chumash. Usmachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem. It's all about the Karbonos. The Beis HaMikdash was all about joy and happiness. Amolek, Parsha Zohar, Zohar as Asher Korcha. What is Amalek about? Kerach, to turn us into a piece of ice. When a person's happy, they're hot, they're on fire. Amalek is asher korcho baderech. He's looking to put us in the freezer, to take the fire, the passion out of life. When is the passion out of life? When life is an ice cream, that's something to get passionate about. It lasts a half hour, and then what? What should I do then? But if life is, if I believe that every mitzvah is eternity, that by performing a mitzvah, the reward for this is infinite, and by performing a mitzvah, I'm connecting myself, attaching myself to Ein Sof, to Hashem who is infinite, that's something to celebrate. That's something that can keep me happy more than 15 minutes, more than 15 hours. That's something that can keep me constantly happy, especially since most mitzvahs are not that hard to do. How hard is it to sit down and learn a Mishnah and then learn another Mishnah? Each person on their level, the Satan tries to frighten us. Oh, look at the Shas, it's so big. You could never do that. He's full of baloney. There are thousands of people we know thousands of people that did it. So it can, you know how they did it? They didn't do it like this. They did it one page at a time. One page. You do one page, and the next day you do another page, and you'd be surprised how it adds up. And that's all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs can be done. They're all doable. They're not so difficult. And to know that it's so rewarding, that's the shkolem, that's the zohar. Then we go on to Parshas Parah, which reminds us that we don't know, we don't understand. Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, said, Omarti Echkama, I said I'm going to be smart, V'hi Rechoka Mimeni, and I see that it's very far, I see there's a lot of things I don't understand. The Gemara says, what was he referring to specifically when he said this? Paraduma. The words V'hi Rechoka are bigematria Paraduma. That which Shlomo HaMelech admitted that he doesn't understand, that's paraduma. And that teaches us that you don't have to understand. It doesn't have to all make sense to you. You don't have to rationalize the Torah. The Torah is way above rationale. It's eternity. It's spiritual. It's a billion times higher. You need to believe. You need to have faith. If you'll believe and then you'll study, you'll get to know as much as you possibly can. You'll get to understand a lot, but always realizing v'hi rechoka, that I'm still very far away. We know that in Paraduma there's a contradiction. The one who's tame becomes purified. The one who's pure becomes tame. Make up your mind. Which is it? The answer is put your mind aside. Don't make up your mind. Get rid of your mind. Faith. The Torah is about emunah. Kol mitzvah secha emunah. You have to be prepared to put your mind aside sometimes and to know that we don't understand, and then you'll get to really, really experience the closeness to Hashem. And then we come finally to Parsha Sachodesh, which is about the moon, the new moon, which is one of the mitzvahs which the Shulchan Aruch tells us that Kiddush Levana is all about simcha. We try usually to do Kiddush Levana on Moitzoi Shabbos. Why? Because then we're dressed in our Shabbos clothes and we're high. We're coming. We just finished the Shabbos, the happiest moment. That's the time for Kiddush Levana. And we sing and we dance at Kiddush. This is one of the mitzvahs that shows us what all of the mitzvahs are about. Again, Paraduma is not just for itself. Paraduma teaches us that all of the mitzvahs we don't understand. All of the mitzvahs we can't rationalize. And Kiddush Levana teaches us that every mitzvah you do, you need to be singing and dancing, whether you express it outwardly or inwardly, to know that it's kol, that Pikudei Hashem Yishorim, Mesamchei Lev. And this is all leading up to Pesach, for the holiday of Pesach, which is the holiday of redemption. There's a pasuk, Ki besimcha teitzeyun. With happiness, you will exit. You will exit. You'll exit from your worries. You'll exit from golus, from exile, all the exiles. The secret is simcha. That's why the introduction to the holiday of Pesach is Purim. 30 days before Pesach is when you start learning the laws of Pesach. You start learning about redemption. This is the secret of redemption, this joy and happiness. Hashem should help us, b'zecha. to understand and believe what the tzaddikim teach us about Yiddishkeit, about Torah, about practicing Yiddishkeit and Torah properly. And through this kind of simcha, a simcha of holiness and goodness, to be zoche to get to see the Geula Shlema, the real final redemption, with the coming of Moshiach, to be in Beis Mikdash, Merv Amenu, Amen v'Amen. Amen. Any questions? Any questions? Exactly. I always forget one of the most important things. There's a chapter of Tehillim that begins with the words L'David b'shanoso es tamo l'fnei avimelech. This is the song of David HaMelech when he changed his tune in front of Avimelech, in front of the king of the Philistines, when he put on a performance, a Purim spiel, right? Exactly. 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 Shkoyach. Shkoyach.
When you talked about the Simcha when there was a Beis Mikdash.
Yes.
That's what Yirmiyahu meant with Oyd Yeshoma.
Exactly. Exactly. Oyd Yeshoma be'or Yehuda kol sosem v'kol simcha. Exactly.
It's not just a chusim and a kal.
Exactly.
It's more than that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So you said when you study the Shas, then it's rewarding, but the parasha of this week starts like what you should do to serve the Mishkan is with your intention and with your heart, and you should not have in your kavanah the reward. So how do I do my mitzvah? Knowing there is a reward, but without doing it with a reward. You said it tonight, so I want to.
An important question. We said that one of the things that makes us happy in doing mitzvahs is knowing that this gives eternal reward. And yet we're told in Pirkei Avos, other places, Al tiyu kavodim hamishamshim elarav hamasra, don't serve Hashem for the sake of reward. Which is it? The answer is it's both. It's both. Each one on their level. There's a beginner's level, a child. We know that a child needs a carrot and a stick. You know, in many cases, it's you can't tell a child this is the right thing to do. The word right and wrong, they have no idea what that means. You need to show them an example of reward and punishment, and that's how they learn. They start out learning like that. Afterwards, you can remove that, and then he starts doing the mitzvahs because he knows he believes it's the right. He knows it's the right thing. There's a story in the Zohar HaKadosh, one of the most touching stories. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's closest student was Rabbi Abba. He's the one who wrote the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says one day Rabbi Abba went out in the middle of the street, and he made an announcement: "Who wants to get rich? Whoever wants to come rich, come over here." And they saw that this wasn't a joker saying this. This was Rabbi Abba. This was a very respectable, refined person. So a couple of people came over. One young man especially came over and said, I want to be rich. He said, good, come with me. He told him, come into the Beit Midrash, sit down and start learning Torah. You're going to get rich. Okay. The rabbi said it. He did it. He learned for a couple of weeks. Solid. After a couple of weeks, he went over to Rabbi Abba and said, you didn't forget about me. You didn't forget the deal, right? I mean, you didn't forget why I came, right? Rabbi Abba looked at him and said, I didn't forget anything. And I wasn't exaggerating and I wasn't lying. Sit down and you'll see I'm going to fulfill exactly what I said. He learned for another couple of weeks. And the Zohar HaKadosh says he started developing a taste for it. He started seeing how beautiful the Torah, how special the Torah is. He went back to Rabbi Abba. And he started crying. And he said, I'm so sorry for being so silly that I compared this to wealth, to money. Money is garbage compared. This is so much bigger, so much more special than, so fabulous, so wonderful. Rabbi Abba said, very good. Sit down and keep learning. The Zohar HaKadosh says, a short while later, a man came to the yeshiva, a very wealthy man, and he brought with him 13 goblets made of puz. The Gemara says there's different levels of gold in the world. Puz is the rarest type of gold in the world, which there's only a certain amount of it. This billionaire had this. He brought 13 goblets, and he said to Rabbi Abba, I'm looking for a son-in-law. Do you have somebody who's really special for my daughter? Rabbi Abba said, I have just the guy. You see that guy over there, Yossi? His name is Yossi. Yossi. He's the one. The Zohar HaKadosh says he became known as Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi. Paz. The Rabbi Yossi who got these 13 goblets. But what I wanted to point out, you saw in the beginning, he came for money. Afterwards, he was laughing. Money, a joke compared to this, compared to what it is. But that's a madrega. That's a certain level. Sure.
I think not only with children that works. I think with adults also.
For sure. Adults who are children, meaning each person on their level, that before a person can get ready, people need to be rewarded. The concept of being rewarded, person's trying to lose weight or anything, and they give them a prize or they publicize their name to motivate them, to inspire them to get better. Once a person gets to a certain level, hopefully, then they don't need that anymore. They're on a level where they understand it. The reward is a joke, is an insult to them compared to their level of understanding how good this is, how important it is. But that's a madrega,
David took down Goliath.
Yes.
Why was he afraid when his life was being threatened by Shaul?
By Shaul HaMelech. Because Shaul HaMelech was a tzaddik, Goliath insulted Hashem. He said, anybody insults Hashem is a zero, is a nothing. Shaul HaMelech was a tzaddik. And that's where there was fear in how to deal with him. And we find that David HaMelech got punished at one point because he tore the garment. He wanted to show Shaul HaMelech that I could have killed. He tore his garment. The Gemara says, when David HaMelech got older, he couldn't, no matter how much clothes they put on him, he couldn't feel warm because he showed a drop of disrespect to Shaul. What do you mean disrespect? The guy's trying to kill me. There's so many delicate things going on here. With Hashem's help, I hope we'll continue next week, Mitzvah Hashem.
How does the four parashios encompass all the other parashios, like the parashiyuma and dancing for the moon?
Yes.
How does it encompass all the other mitzvahs? Like, how you said?
Because they're representative of that. The Gemara says that, and Sfarim write that. That just like Parah Aduma is called Chayk. It's called a Chayk. Hashem sometimes refers to the whole Torah as Chukim or Mishpatim. You understand? So it's not just the mitzvah of Parah Aduma that we don't understand, but even those mitzvahs that we do understand, we don't understand. That's the point.
What about dancing for the moon?
Same thing. That shows us that in reality, every mitzvah a person does, he's supposed to do. If do es Hashem in the city, that's a pasuk.
But you said that this parasha
shows that this is because other... this is an example. These are being listed. Good to see. These are being shown as an example. Show me. Let me show you what a mitzvah is. This is an example of a mitzvah. This mitzvah Parah Aduma teaches you, don't question that there are things that you can't understand. Kiddush Levana teaches you that a mitzvah is joy and happiness.